stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. And we the people, we are back once again. Here, of course, on a Friday. This is, of course, Friday, September the 16th, 2022. I'm Sean Casey, and this is where the resistance meets each and every episode, where we plot to resist. We gather together. We unify. There's a strange word for Republicans these days. Make sure we stop the march to Marxism being led by Chairman Joe and Kami Harris, joining us in the battle each and every episode. Our executive producer, Joe Hosni Armacost.
You got to watch that plot to resist stuff. You never know when you're going to get served.
Yeah. That is true. That is so true. And that's going to be my theme of my outrage coming up a little later on here in the show. Our associate producer and researcher, Double X, Michelle Drasella. Hello, Michelle.
Hi there. Ready to squash those commies?
Oh, yeah. And they need to be squashed.
Yes.
As you hear so from our liberal lunatics of the day, what they had to say is very interesting. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But again, on this Friday, we have our outrages. We have our liberal lunatics of the week. We have our patriot of the week. We've got it all for you in this episode. But I wanted to start with, let me ask you both this, because we all know Chairman Joe is a horrific president for many reasons. The economy, energy, the border, the abandoning Americans in Afghanistan, the propaganda, the lying, the fact he's cognitively impaired. I mean, we can make a list and go on probably for the whole show, but in the interest of time, I want to make sure, I wanted to ask you guys, if have the Republicans done enough to convince Americans, independents, unaffiliated, whatever, have they done enough to convince them to vote for the Republicans, not just against Joe Biden, but give the Republicans something to vote for?
Yeah. Well, no,
I don't think they have.
No.
I mean, it's like we're still looking for a leader almost. I mean, one pops up, it's like whack-a-repub or whack-a-mole. You know, one comes up and says something, another one says something, and then he goes down again. But it's like we don't have a leader there. And unfortunately or unfortunately enough, Biden's goofed things up just so god-awfully bad that we haven't needed it, or it hasn't really hurt us so far.
Yeah, well, there's, I think, and Michelle, what are your thoughts as well?
Well, I concur with Joe. I just don't think that there's been enough Republicans' response to all of the issues of the day. What are you going to do differently to turn this ship around?
Yeah, and I think that there are two things that drive people out for elections. One is to vote against something, and the other one is to vote for something. And I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think that when you look at this, I think that, yes, Joe Biden's approval ratings are in the dump, and that's going to get X amount of people out to vote against him. But you still have to convince the people. See, what happens is if you just rely on that, then people are going to sit out. The people that you don't give a reason to vote for something, they'll just sit out saying, well, I'm not voting for Joe Biden. I'm going to sit this one out. And it happens more frequent than you might imagine.
Right. Like me, I'm going to go and I'm going to vote for Republicans, grassroots MAGA Republicans that care about our country. That's me. I'm going to do that. But like you said, I don't know, the independent, are they going to do it?
Yeah. And people, you got to give, you got to convince people. You've got to make the case. It's like we talked about with Carrie Lake, you're applying for a job and the people of America are the boss. They're going to hire you. What's on your resume? What have you promised? What are your skills? Are you uniquely qualified for this job? And the reason why I start with this exercise today, because I think there's a lesson to be had, and for all of us to learn, especially, I don't know if McCarthy and McConnell are even capable of it, but the next generation of Republican leaders, wherever they may be, whoever they may be. And I think the lesson is from a 25-year-old who just won her primary in New Hampshire. Caroline Leavitt is a former, she worked in the communications office of President Trump. She also worked for Elise Stefanik. And this is a 25-year-old, again, and she would be the youngest member ever elected to Congress if she's able. Now, she won her primary in New Hampshire by 10 points. Are you ready for this? After Kevin McCarthy spent $5 million against her, funding her opponent, Matt Maurer. $5 million. The same happened for Don Bolduc, the general who was won the Senate primary in New Hampshire, where Kevin McCarthy spent $4.1 million to defeat him.
Well, then somebody's paying attention.
Yeah.
Since they voted for Caroline. Yeah.
Two things. They're paying attention to really who truly is the America First, populist, Trump endorsed candidate. And number two, they're outworking the opponents. Caroline Leavitt, the first district of New Hampshire, and Don Bolduc, all over the state. It's a small state, New Hampshire. I get it. You get in larger states, you may not be able to do this with great success, but they just outworked their opponents. They were at every town hall. They were every community meeting. They, I think Bolduc held 50 town halls. Can you imagine? 50.
Wow.
So Caroline Leavitt, and this is, I think, and we have all sorts of examples of this. We've got great MAGA Republicans. We don't have enough of them. That's the problem. We got too many swamp creatures. We got too many swamp creatures posing as MAGA Republicans. That but still, the goal has to be take the House, take the Senate, and then hopefully with President Trump announcing and running again, being reelected in 2024, then we can begin to weed out the bad apples.
Well, you know who drew the map for how to, you know, you have all these town hall meetings was Trump having all these rallies and showing how hard he worked up to the very end to even get elected.
That's a great point because there's nobody, this guy could literally work on 4 hours sleep. He's the Energizer Bunny, the human diamond. A lot of it has to do, he doesn't really have any vices like smoking or drinking and things of that nature. And there's a lesson to be, and the fact that he's driven by his love for this country. And I think that's where this energy comes from.
Yes.
This MAGA energy, this patriotism, it has been reawakened in the forgotten men and women of America. And I get a sense, I get that feeling like I did in the Tea Party years, about 12 years ago, the last time I had this kind of feeling in 2010, when the Tea Party first came on the scene. But then the difference was the Tea Party didn't have a real leader. We have a leader now.
Yes.
And that's former President Trump. And everybody's drawing their energy from him. I'm going to give you some examples here. And one is yesterday, Caroline Leavitt, who we just mentioned, she went on Fox News where the never Trumper anchor, Sandra Smith, tried to, again, it's abortion, it's this, it's that. They're all trying to get these red button issues to try to divide the Trump MAGA Republicans from the establishment for the American people. And Caroline Leavitt handled herself. I thought it's about 6 minutes. If you get a chance to see the whole thing, you should really check it out. And every single Republican, MAGA Republican anyway, should look at what Caroline Leavitt did and what she said. We're just going to play a couple of clips here. One is, let me set up the question. Caroline, this was Sandra Smith, Fox News. She's a never Trumper, by the way. She asked her, well, Some have characterized you as a far-right MAGA Republican. You know, you extremist, evil son of a bitch. She didn't say that, but that's the tone. And how are you going to deal with the Democrats? Here was Caroline Leavitt's answer, which should be copied and repeated by every Republican.
To the Democrats, I say this. It is not extreme to want to put your country first. It's not extreme to want to have secure borders, a strong military, to unleash the might of your own economy, and to not send billions and billions of dollars to the country of Ukraine when our own southern border is not secure. Being America first, putting your own people first, is not extreme. The Democrats are the extremists, and they will be held accountable come November.
Boom!
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's right between the eyes.
Good answer.
Oh, yeah.
Good answer.
And so then,
fire.
Yeah, she's a firebrand. Let me tell you, she's a spitfire, and good for Caroline Leavitt. And again, 25 years old, she's got wisdom beyond her years. And then they tried again. Well, you know, you got this. New Hampshire is, you know, this is the first district, and there's a lot more Democrats than there are Republicans in the first district. And your opponent, he's going to be tough to beat. How are you going to convince the voters of New Hampshire to vote for Caroline Leavitt?
His speech last week was arguably the most divisive and disgusting speech that any president, certainly in my lifetime, has ever given. He essentially waged war on half of the country by saying that we are all a threat to democracy because we believe in putting America first. It's not radical to want to put your country and your own people first. It's not radical to want to have a strong border, a strong military, and to unleash the might of your own economy, not economies around the world. You know, we have seen cultural Marxism trickling its way through every institution in this country. The public school system, the higher education university system, Hollywood, big tech, the corrupt mainstream media that I fought against in President Trump's White House are indoctrinating my generation of Americans into hating our country, hating one another based on race and gender and sex and all of this other BS, quite frankly. We need a congresswoman who is going to fight for our conservative American values, love of God, love of country, love of freedom.
Textbook.
Amen.
That is textbook, folks. And where else do we hear that? We heard that from Myra Flores. So thinking about this now, we're Caroline Leavitt, Myra Flores, it's the younger generation now starting to get it. They're taking over in the Republican Party. These dinosaurs, McConnell, McCarthy, the swamp creatures have been living inside the Beltway, sucking off the taxpayer teat for their entire careers. Not these two, not Caroline, not Myra, not the new generation. It fills my heart with hope and optimism. When you hear this kind of, recitation of conservative values, and I tell you, that's what's going to resonate. You give people a reason, give them a reason to vote. I think McCarthy's got this commitment to America out. It's already kind of losing itself for me. I just don't want something on words on a paper. I want to be convinced that's what's in your heart, not something that some D.C. political pundit, Beltway establishment consultant wrote up. I want something like Benjamin Rush, one of our founding fathers, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, when he said this after the Revolutionary War, quote, "The American War is over, but it is far from being the case with the American Revolution. On the contrary, nothing but the first act of the drama is closed. It remains yet to establish and perfect our new forms of government and to prepare the principles, morals, and manners of our citizens for these forms of government after they are established and brought to perfection," end of quote. So Ben Rush knew we won the war, but the battle was, the ideological battles were just beginning. And so that's what the spirit that Caroline Leavitt brings to this, that Myra Flores and others. And then there's Carrie Lake, of course, and she's a little bit older than Caroline and Myra, but she is teaching them how to deal with the media.
If they aren't bad-mouthing me and running hit pieces on me, then they will have to talk about the issues. And when you look at our policies, our America First, Arizona First policies, once they start covering that, it's game over. We win in a landslide, and then they're stuck with me for 8 years. And I think I'm a nightmare for the liberal media in Arizona.
Yes, you are. You know what I love about that? I love the confidence. It's not cockiness. It's confidence.
Right.
You know? She knows who she is. She's comfortable in her own skin. She's not going to be like John McCain or Eye Patch McCain is being called, Dan Crenshaw. You know, it's they don't want to be liked. They don't want the media to like them. They want to deliver. They want to deliver. By the way, if you haven't seen it yet, Alex Stein, you know who Alex Stein is. He is the person, remember, he was going after AOC on the Capitol steps saying she had a big booty or whatever.
Yes.
Alex Stein and Dan Crenshaw, look it up. All right. It is one for the ages. It is one for the ages. And you want to know, just a brief aside here. Alex Stein, there's also a video. If you're trying to get into Alex Stein and why he's so outrageous and why he's so damn annoying, he has a video out there. He lost his mother to COVID. And the hospital at Baylor Hospital did not acquiesce to his wishes or his mother's wishes. And he believes that the medical professional helped to accelerate his mother's demise. And it's just heart-wrenching to see that video of Alex and his mom in the hospital room. And that's what drives him. His mission now is to make America a better place, and he doesn't give a damn. He's calling out whoever it is. He doesn't care if it's Dan Crenshaw or if it's AOC or if it's the Capitol Police. You may disagree with his methods, but once you understand his motivations, he's again, we need conservative warriors. And so far, we have been deserted by a lot of people in our party. Not Steve Bannon. Bannon recently showing that fire as he addressed the media outside a courthouse in New York City.
The Ministry of State is the number one enemy. Every one of you in this audience, is nothing but a pauper. You know why you're a pauper? Because the Federal Reserve, the oligarchs on Wall Street, the oligarchs in Silicon Valley, in the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. Don't ask me. Look at your own lived experience. Today, go home and look at your bank account. See what inflation is doing to you. See what's happening to your capital markets. You're all in bondage. And the populist nationalist movement offers you freedom. And we are not about to back down.
You're all in bondage.
Yep.
You know, you are owned. You might as well put yourself in chains to the corporations, to the swamp, to the Uniparty. You are all in bondage, and it is the America First MAGA Republicans and populists that are going to set you free. And hopefully you'll taste that freedom. And once you taste that freedom, believe me, you're never going to want to go back. So I just think those are the lessons today. Lessons for the GOP. Because a lot of times we deconstruct the Democrats and the progressives, and rightfully so, but a lot of times the GOP gets in its own way. So draw from that energy of Caroline Leavitt and Myra Flores and Kari Lake and Steve Bannon and MTG and Matt Gaetz. We just need more and more of them. One of those warriors is Rand Paul. And again, this is my all-time favorite pay-per-view event. Is watching. I would pay money. Yeah. I would pay money right now to watch Rand Paul and Tony Fauci go at it on a regular basis.
Yep.
And this is the latest round. What is this, round five or six or something like that? But yesterday in the Senate, Rand Paul actually used Tony Fauci's own words from 2004 against him. Here's how it went down.
But she's had the flu for 14 days. Should she get a flu shot?
Well, no. If she got the flu for 14 days, she's as protected as anybody can be, because the best vaccination is to get infected yourself.
And so
if she really has the flu, she definitely doesn't need a flu vaccine. If she really has the flu,
she should not get it again.
No, she doesn't need it, because it's the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
The most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself. That's Tony Fauci, 2004. The elf on the shelf was quivering a little bit yesterday and tried to fire back at Rand Paul.
And that film that you showed is really taken out of context. I believe that was when someone called in who had had a reaction to a vaccine and asked me through a telephone in the interview if they should get vaccinated again. So it was in the context of someone who had a reaction. And as a matter of fact, Reuters fact check looked at that and said, Fauci's 2004 comments do not contradict his pandemic
actually words don't lie. If you look at the words behind me, we can go over them a little bit at a time. She doesn't need it because the most potent vaccination is getting infected yourself.
It is so true.
Actually, words don't lie. And then he gets Fauci to agree with him using his own words. This was a classic takedown yesterday. It should have been on every news channel, but I didn't see it.
It was on this morning.
It was
on Fox News.
On Fox, but
surprisingly,
on the Alphabet Networks, no. I doubt they would show that.
No,
because that's their saint, Tony Fauci. Unbelievable. And then the WHO, the Wuhan Health Organization, they tried to sneak one past us. Here's Tedros Ghebreyesus, whatever his name is, at the WHO, telling us basically that it's over, folks.
We have never been in a better position to end the pandemic. We're not there yet, but the end is in sight. If we don't take this opportunity now, we run the risk of more variants, more deaths, more disruption, and more uncertainty. So let's seize this opportunity.
All right. So basically, it's over. It's over. The end's in sight. That's you know, bureaucratic, international globalist speak for, hey, it's over. We're on to the next thing now.
So everybody that's wearing your mask still inside your car, take it off.
Right.
You don't need it.
And
you'll see it.
Stripper music on the, get a little creative for the people wearing masks. I see it too. Yeah. I walked into the Giant the other day. I saw three people come out with masks. I go, wait a minute, did I miss something? Did they put the mask back in place? Yep. And they go, well, wait a minute. These people are just being idiotic. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of idiots, we have Chairman Joe Biden once again. Did you see him in the gas-powered Corvette at the Detroit Auto Show yesterday?
I did.
Yeah.
How about that?
It was there.
Drive off.
It was there pushing electric vehicles, but boy, that gas-powered vet, that Z06, got them all excited.
Kind of creepy, wasn't it?
Yeah. He can't visit the border, but he can go to the Detroit Auto Show. Isn't that special? Hmm. But he's now pushing the fact that, hey, you got to get yourself one of those EVs.
Thanks to American ingenuity, American engineers, American auto workers, it's all changing. Today, if you want an electric vehicle with a long range, you can buy one made in America. If you want one that charges quickly, buy American. If you want one that's fast in a quarter mile, buy American.
Yeah, well, you may buy the chassis that might be made in America, yeah, but the batteries are not.
A lot of those cars are made in China, too.
Yep, yeah, all those parts
made in China.
Those chips.
Yep, I got the chips, you got the batteries, you got the stuff is mined in foreign countries, and then the Chinese are assembling it all together, and then maybe they just dump it all in the chassis here in America at the end. I would venture to guess there's very few of them were 100% made in America. And by the way, he was pushing an $80,000 electric vehicle yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's everybody can afford. This is America, damn it. We can all afford those.
Yeah, for a 30-year loan.
Yeah.
For something that runs for a little while, right. And maybe you'll juice it up again.
You now need mortgage loans for your cars in America. Right. Thank you, Chairman Joe at Comiars. This is, to me, the classic, though, because, you know, he knows, and this has been tested. Because we've said this before, the Great American Road Trip, that's the thing that the call of the road. When you want to get in your car or your bike or whatever, and you want to go out and just drive, that's a great American passage, a rite of passage, is it not? Of course it is.
Oh, it is.
All of us like to go for a drive. Sometimes a clear head. Sometimes it's a pretty day. You just want to jump in the car and go drive or ride your bike or whatever. Apparently that he's trying to address that in this statement.
The Great American Road Trip is going to be fully electrified. Whether you're driving coast to coast along I-10 or on I-75 here in Michigan, charging stations will be up and easy to find as gas stations are now.
Yeah. Really? Well, here's the deal. I can, on a road trip, I can jump in my car right now. I can drive, let's see, on a tank of gas, I can probably go at least 5 hours, maybe six.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then when I stop to get gas, I fill up in 5 minutes, I'm on the road again.
Yeah.
How long does it take to charge the damn car after you've gone about 250 miles?
I think he's thinking of like a slot car where you have a constant electrical feed through whatever road you're on and a little keel to guide you there. And that, you know, that's efficient.
I just hear sounds of the electric grid going.
Yeah, well, that's not going to be able to be supported either. And then there's we've talked about other problems, recycling, recharging. Again, look, if you want to drive an electric vehicle, as I've said repeatedly, good for you. I'm not casting judgment. You know, drive whatever you want. That's the American way. You want to drive a battery-powered vehicle, a gas-powered vehicle, or a hybrid vehicle. I don't care if you want to drive a soapbox car. Yeah. Just don't tell me what I have to drive.
Right. You okay? Do you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Double X.
Well, this whole thing, you know, the government telling you, we're not going to do gas anymore. Tough for you. It's not ready. This whole thing stinks.
It does.
Stinks. Yep. Reeks.
The electric grid won't take it. Just like the electric grid. You know, I was reading an article today that here in Maryland, where we broadcast behind enemy lines in the blue state of Maryland, this new Democrat gubernatorial candidate, Wes Moore, he wants 100% electrification of state vehicles by 2031. And then, of course, by 2035, he wants 80% of the entire state fleet to be aligned. And then again, leaving out the big question, what about the rest of us that have gas-powered cars?
So
this election is pivotal in Maryland and many states, because our entire way of life is in jeopardy right now by these climate change, lunatics. And they are.
Boats, trucks, planes.
Well, what are you going to do? They're talking about electrifying the port of Baltimore. Can you imagine? Joe used to work on the port many years ago. Can you imagine if they had to take all that diesel and try to electrify stuff?
There are a lot of electric power. There was electric powered cranes and stuff like that.
Okay.
But nothing replaces the brute force of refillability. What are you going to do? Run something down and you're in the middle of a job and you got to go, hey, guys, take about a 3-hour break. We're going to charge this thing up.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would happen.
That might be something the union breaks anyway, just to point that out. All right. So there you have it on the electric vehicles. And that's just, they keep on pushing this, Pete. Buttigieg wants to think about a federal, like the California law, no more gas-powered vehicles by 2035. Joe, did you know that Joe Biden signed an executive order that the federal government fleet will also be all electric? Within the next 10 years, every single vehicle that the federal government owns will be battery powered. And so, you know, it's coming. They're trying to force this crap on the rest of us.
Just idiots doing things they know nothing about once again.
All right. Time for liberal lunatics of the week. We start with Hank. Guam is at a tipping point. Johnson. He is a Democrat moron. Listen to what he said about J6 and school board parents.
January 6, 2021 will never be forgotten, an infamous day in American history. MAGA Republicans descended upon the Capitol, engaged in an insurrection. They occupied the Capitol. 5 people were killed, hundreds injured, including hundreds of Capitol Hill police officers attacked and bludgeoned. It was a day that we'll never forget. And people on the local level at affected school board meetings, they won't forget the MAGA Republicans descending on their school board meetings after January 6th, like January 6th, disrupting meetings. It was a coordinated attack happening across the country.
Now it was coordinated. Did you know? If it was coordinated, it was probably coordinated by the FBI.
Right.
And first
wonder how
off,
much you got paid for saying
there,
that.
There weren't 5 people killed. There were 4 people killed.
Right.
And they were all MAGA supporters. Okay. A police officer committed suicide, I think. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Officer Sicknick died of a stroke the next day. But he wasn't killed on J6. There have been suicides as a result of that. Some of the police obviously have had issues. And then, of course, this coordinated attack nonsense. And imagine comparing the J6 with the school parents. I mean, that's just, there was no violence. If there was any violence, it was against the parents. They were like dragged out of meetings that were handcuffed and removed. I think there was one, I looked it up. There was one incident of a school board member who was assaulted in the entire, and that, that could be your normal day in any NFL stadium. Go figure. All right, second nominee, Crazy Maisie Hirono of Hawaii.
This is an outright attack on women in this country. That is how I see it. That is how more, and those who support our right to make decisions about our own bodies, that is how we see it. Clearly, this is literally call to arms in our country.
A call to arms is a plea to take up physical weaponry and get ready to defend, attack, whatever. That's not a figurative reference. I mean, I'm hoping that she's talking figuratively, not literally, but that's what a call to arms means.
And when Joe Biden calls the MAGA forces, I mean, you know, right. All that war speech.
Well, that's the point. I think the Red Sermon, as it is known now, Chairman Joe basically gave the green light to people like Tim Ryan to say, kill and confront the MAGA movement.
Yep.
To Crazy Maisie, call to arms. Our third nominee today is Karine Jean-Pierre, White House mouthpiece on, believe it or not, the horrific inflation rate number that came out this week.
When you look at the data, the inflation data, we're seeing more progress bringing global inflation down in the U.S. economy, as I just stated moments ago. Overall, prices have been essentially flat in our country these last 2 months. That is welcome news for American families.
Prices are flat? Really? I don't think there's anything flat about any of the prices that I've been seeing of late.
Yeah. No.
But see, here's they take little tidbits. Well, the price has been flat for the last 2 months. Well, not really. I've gone to the store the last 2 months. Every time I've gone in, I just marvel at how much more the prices increase. Now, gas is down, but that's because, as we explained the other day, due to the SPR and due to driving, but it's still double what it was when Joe Biden came in office. So there are your three nominees. Hank Johnson comparing the J6 and some of the idiots there to school board parents. Crazy Maisie Hirono, a call to arms. And KJP that, hey, they're making progress on inflation. Prices are flat. Who are you voting for, Michelle?
I'm going to go with Looney Bin number one.
Hank Johnson?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Looney Bin number one.
Yeah. Just because he's lied. I mean, Karine Jean-Pierre, she was lying too. So, I mean, I don't know. But
hers was less of a lie than right. There was a coordinated attack between school board parents and the J6 crowd.
Exactly.
Joseph?
Crazy Maisie. You know, it's like an idiot sandwich there. You got Hank on one side and you got Karine down the other side. Two complete morons with this person that wants violence in the middle. So I'm going to go with her.
All right. Baloney hoagie is what you're saying. Hank Johnson is dumb as a box of rocks. So I'm going to excuse him just based on the fact that
you know that.
Yeah. Crazy Maisie gets my vote today. And I'll agree with you this time, okay. Joe. All right. So there you have it. Now for our Patriot of the Week, Papa John. Remember him? Yeah. The pizza guy?
Mm-hmm.
Papa John, they took his company from him because I can't remember what the controversy was over something that they basically bought him out or kicked him to the curb or whatever. It was some woke thing that he did.
Yes.
But Papa John is he's speaking truth to power these days.
You saw last night when Mike Lindell was raided with the FBI. Yeah. FBI. Trump just got raided. I mean, we now have Nazi Germany. Where if you're a conservative and you believe in conservative principles and you're outspoken, you got the KGB.
You believe that?
The AG, the FBI, the Internal Revenue Service now. I mean, yeah, the government is now an enemy of the freedoms of the people. And if you don't think that, you know, if they attack Lindell, Trump, Flynn, Papa John, if they attack us, sooner or later, they're going to attack every American that doesn't believe in their ideology that has a voice.
And so there is, it's like Nazi Germany. The government, as what Tulsi Gabbard said the other day, it's the government that is the domestic enemy. Papa John speaking out, they'll probably now never be associated with pizza again or anywhere. Well, probably won't even be let in the stores, you know? All right, time for our outrages of the week, and we'll start today with Joseph Murray Armacost.
Well, you got the president on there celebrating this non-inflationary time we're in. Wow, there's a graphic of the the stock market, just the bottom dropping out on it. This guy's happening to write, yeah, baby, we're doing good. Yeah, no, we're not doing good. Things suck, Joe.
Yeah. It's like Senator Kennedy said, and that's a great point that you make out, because that should be a GOP political ad. They should run in every congressional district.
Yeah.
Them celebrating the inflationary bill while the stock market drops 1,200 points at the same time. and then singing folk songs, you know, Fire and Rain.
And I might not have said that real well. That's because I usually don't speak very well to begin with. But
that's already
was the point across.
It was a stream of consciousness. We understood you're doing your Joe Biden impression.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's exactly what it was. But I forgot that. Okay.
I should have announced it up front.
Pull me out of that one, pal.
All right, Double X.
All right. So I was on Twitter this morning and I noticed dementia was trending. Now, I wonder why that could be. Because Joe didn't know yesterday which way to exit the stage. I don't know if anybody else saw that, but that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, so, I anyway, did. I caught it.
Yep. So it was so dementia was trending and I started looking through some of the tweets and I come across this lady named Anne Lesby. She's got a PhD and she goes by she and her. And she tweeted this. The term dementia is insulting and implies that one person's reality is inferior to another's. Instead of people with dementia, say reality divergent people.
What?
Yes. What? Yes. So I guess.
Reality divergent people?
Yes. So I guess that's our new speak of the day.
That is crazy. Almost as crazy as crazy Maisie. Mm-hmm. My outrage of the week, it's been an all week thing. It's been the behavior of the FBI and how they behave with Trump, how they behave with Lisa Gallagher, the New Jersey housewife and mother, how they behave with Mike Lindell. And then Bernie Kerik told the story about how the FBI was coming after him.
I was out of town, got a call from the FBI. They said they were in my driveway, actually. I'd just spoken to my family. My daughter was a wreck. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, what are you looking for? He said he wanted to speak to me about my prior position with the legal team. I told him I'd be back up in up north, and I talked to him when I got there. I was back the next morning, called him. They showed up at my house. Two agents came inside. One waited outside, two different vehicles. And, you know, he said he wanted to talk to me about my my time with the election campaign, with the election fraud investigation. And I told him, I said, listen, I have a great admiration for you guys, for what you do, the line agents of the FBI. I said, but I have no trust, faith, or confidence in your leadership. So I'm not going to be talking to you at all. If you want to talk to my attorney, you can do that. Have your prosecutors talk to my attorney. At which time he handed me a subpoena. The thing I thought was strange about this was that they know I have counsel. They know that, but they sent these agents anyway, which is pretty disturbing. You know, I've been doing this a long time. When I looked at the subpoena, there's over 120 people mentioned in that subpoena. I don't know 90% of them. I've never heard of many of the people in that subpoena, which was kind of odd. But the thing that stood out more than anything else is that every single one of Donald Trump's lawyers that was on the legal team investigating voter fraud and election fraud, they're named in that subpoena. That's insane. That's crazy.
Former New York City Police Commissioner Bernie Kerik. And the way the FBI is after him now, because he's associated with Donald Trump. You know, it's amazing to me. I see people interviewed from Cuba, from Venezuela, from Vietnam, from Korea, from the former Soviet Union, anywhere where communism has been tried. And they're asked about the behavior of the FBI and they've seen this already. They recognize it. It's scary to them. Should be scary to you too, but it's really scary to them because they endured it once. They escaped it, thought they were coming to a free country where this would never, ever be allowed to happen. And guess what? They've seen this before and they're really scared for America. So that is my outrage of the week. All right, Patriots, pockets of Patriots today, by the way, DC and Baltimore, man, they're going really at it, neck and neck. tied for number one for downloads again this week. Coming into the top 10 for the first time, Easton, Maryland, which is on the eastern shore of our beautiful state.
Hello over there.
Pismo Beach, California logs in for the first time, thanks to the West Coast. We have East Coast, now the West Coast. And again, our outside the United States downloads, Keelung, that's a port town in Taiwan. It's in Keelung, Taiwan. So thank you for downloading. Don't forget to make sure that you subscribe. Please rate us. Please review us. We appreciate that. And don't forget, you can send us an email to comment on anything here on the show at theseancaseyshow@gmail.com.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this Friday edition. Thanks again to our executive producer, Joe Hosny-Armacost.
Thanks, John. Have a nice weekend, man.
You do the same. And to our associate producer and researcher, Double X.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, and to other producers, Hunter and Logan, Casey, don't forget the Casey commentary drops tomorrow. See you Monday. Stay free.